نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ One who fears standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى And he prevents the nafs from desires. Base desires. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى Then Jannah is his abode. From this verse we understand that in order to acquire Jannah, one has to do two things. One is to fear standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instill this fear in one's heart that a day is going to come when I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that there will be no translator between Allah and His servant. Allah Himself will question, direct questions. And each person will have to give account for each and every second that he had spent in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him five questions. These are the five general questions. With so many other questions following. An umurihi fi ma'afana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask every person regarding his entire life, the whole life, where did you spend your life? From the time you reached the age of puberty until you breathed your last, where did you spend your life? During the whole life, what deeds did you carry out? What actions did you engage in? What did you do? What did you say? What didn't you do? What didn't you say? And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will specifically ask regarding the youth. وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَبْلَى Where did you spend your youth? So first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will go through the whole life and thereafter He will return to the youth and ask specific questions regarding youth. وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اِكْتَسَبَهُ The third question is regarding wealth. Where did you earn your wealth from? And the fourth question, وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ Where did you spend your wealth? Did you earn through halal sources or haram sources? And the fourth question, Did you spend the money that I gave you, the wealth I gave you, in permissible avenues or impermissible avenues? And fifth question, وَأَمَّا عَمِلَ فِيمَا عَلِمْ. How much did you practice on the knowledge that was given to you? So in order to acquire entry into Jannah, the first thing a person has to do is to instill this fear in one's heart that a day is going to come when I will have to stand in the court of Rabbul Alameen, in the court of Ahkamul Hakimeen. And he himself will question me. And nothing is hidden from him. يُنَبَّوَ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform, His malaika will inform each and every human regarding what they had carried out whilst they were in this world. Nothing will be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تَخْفَى مِنْهُمْ خَافِيَةً. So this is the first thing we have to do. And the second thing we need to do is to control our base desires. Control our base desires. Control our base desires when it comes to thinking. Control our base desires when it comes to speaking. And control our base desires when it comes to carrying out actions. So in actions, we follow the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In speech, we follow the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in thinking also, we follow the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think, we believe according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether the faculty of intellect can comprehend or not. We follow the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In speech, we follow the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in actions, we follow the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. One who prevents the nafs from base desires, from following base desires, means that one who controls his nafs from following the base desires when it comes to thinking, when it comes to ideologies, when it comes to beliefs, one who controls his nafs from following the base desires when it comes to speaking, and thereafter when it comes to actions, practice, then for such person is Jannah. Two things we have to do. And from the two things we have to do, the first is the essential one. If a person is able to instill in his heart the fear of the day of reckoning, the fear of reckoning, the fear of standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer questions. If a person is able to instill this fear in his heart, then automatically he will be able to control his base desires. And what leads to reckoning? Death leads a person to reckoning. For as long as a person lives in this world, there is no reckoning. Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ. In this world there is amal and no reckoning. Do good, do bad, it's up to you. There is no reckoning here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not question, why did you do this? Why did you not do this? There is no question. In this world there is amal, practice, carrying out actions. In this world there is amal, no hisab, no reckoning. And in the hereafter, wa ghadan Hisabun wala amal. In the hereafter, there is hisab and no amal. A person will not be able to carry out good deeds in the hereafter. And even if a person was to carry out good deeds, he will not be rewarded. In a hadith, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says that the eyes that shed tears out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not go in the fire of Jahannam. So in this world, if a person was to cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those eyes will not go in the fire of Jahannam. And if eyes will not go in the fire of Jahannam, the whole body will not go in the fire of Jahannam. Because it's not possible to throw the whole body in the fire of Jahannam without the eyes. But in the hereafter, people will shed so many tears. People will cry so much and shed so many tears that eventually they will begin to shed tears of blood. But no benefit. So there is no recognition of any amal in the hereafter. In this world, when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he supplicates, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely accepts his prayer. The acceptance may take either of three forms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may accept the prayer and give the servant whatever he has asked for. For example, a person makes dua that, oh Allah, I am in need of £100, grant me £100. So one form of acceptance is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create means for him as a result of which he will acquire £100. Second form is that he was going to make a loss of £100. Allah will save him from that loss. So in reality, Allah has accepted his prayer and granted him £100. He was already in need of £100. If he had made that loss, he would have been in need of £200. But Allah saved him from that loss. So Allah gave him £100. So now he is only in need of £100. And the third form is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will neither grant him what he is asking for in this world, nor will he save him from any harm in this world. Allah will save his prayer for the hereafter. And Allah will grant him reward for that prayer in the hereafter. That, oh my servant, you asked for this particular item in the world, that particular item in the world, and I did not give it to you. Today I am giving it to you in the form of the blessings and the bounties of the hereafter. So whether we are able to perceive our prayers accepted or not, we must continually pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the prayer is definitely accepted. But in the hereafter, وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ظَلَالٍ. Those disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who rejected the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will continually pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will continually pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbana ghalabat alina shikwatuna wa kunna qawman dhalin. Rabbana akhrijna minha fa'in udna fa'inna dhalimun. Qalak saw fiha wa la tukallimun. They will say, oh Allah, give us one more chance. Take us out from this fire of Jahannam. Give us an opportunity to go back into the world. And we will prove it to you that we are your servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Iqsaw fiha. Remain in the fire of Jahannam, disgraced. Wala tukallimun, and in future do not even talk to me. No. Dua, no effect of dua. And when a person makes dua in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so happy with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that ad-du'a mukhul ibadah, dua is the essence of worship. Ad-du'a wal ibadah, dua in itself is ibadah. Dua is the main ibadah. So we should spend moments, many moments in turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua. You should say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, grant me this, grant. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs of the hereafter and also the needs of this world. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that even if the strap of your sandals or your shoes or your slippers break, then before going to the cobbler, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first that, oh Allah, make it easy for me. Even the slightest item, ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his nafla salat. He would remain in sajda for very long. He would remain in ruku for very long. And even outside salah, he would raise his hands and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on every occasion, he would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask from him, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Allahumma aftahli abwaab rahmatik. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khabaith. He would supplicate to Allah. He would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continually. So let us also turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After every salat, we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if things don't come to our mind, then continually ask for the 2-3 things that come to your mind. But spend those 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes in dua. If nothing comes in mind and only one sentence is coming in mind, oh Allah, grant me Jannah, oh Allah, grant me Jannah, continually say, oh Allah, grant me Jannah, oh Allah, grant me Jannah. But we must make a habit of spending stipulated times in dua. After every good amal, after tilawat for a few minutes, after nafla salah for a few moments, after zikr for a few moments, after any good deed that we carry out, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because duas are more accepted after carrying out good deeds. And we should also learn the masnoon supplications and read them. And daily we should take out 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so where we carry out this ibadah specifically. Not under any other ibadah, specifically, mustaqil. We give it importance that this time is for dua. 10 minutes, 15 minutes is for dua. And we should endeavor to perform tahajjud salah and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the darkness of the night and ask from Allah for whatever we desire. So I was saying that if we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him for whatever we need, Allah will grant it to us. But in the hereafter, no, Allah will not accept prayers of those who will be doomed to the fire of Jahannam. No benefit. So in this world there is no reckoning. But there is the opportunity to carry out good deeds and abstain from the don't, and as a result, make Allah happy. And in the hereafter, there will be reckoning and no good deeds. So if we instill this fear in our hearts that one day I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer Him for everything I am thinking, everything I am saying, and everything I am doing, automatically a person will be able to control his base desires. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And when a person is able to control his base desire, then he is able to prepare for the life hereafter. And the person who gives priority to the life hereafter over this worldly life is the clever person. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-kayyiso man dana nafsahu. The clever person, the clever one is he who controls his nafs. And when a person controls his nafs, he is able to prepare for the hereafter. Wa'amila lima ba'dal maut. So the one who controls his nafs will prepare for the life hereafter. Wanahan nafsa anil hawa. One who prevents his nafs from base desires, one who controls his nafs will be preparing for the hereafter. And because he prepares for the hereafter, he is clever. And he is clever, that's why he is preparing for the hereafter. And when a person prepares for the hereafter, the result is فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Jannat is his destination. And in order to go in Jannah, we have to make preparation for the life hereafter. In order to make preparation for the life hereafter, we have to control our desires, our base desire. We have to prevent our nafs from going in wrong direction. And in order to do that, we have to continually remind ourselves that a day is going to come when I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what leads to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is death. So we have to continually remind ourselves that one day I am going to die. And when I die, the first court will be in the grave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint angels who will come and question me. Mar rabbuka, ma deenuka, ma taqulu fi hadar rajul. Who is your Rabb? What is your deen? And the blessed face of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam will be shown to us, and the angels will ask, who is this person? Do you recognize him? That person who controlled his base desires in this world will be able to say that Rabbi Allah, my Rabb is Allah, Dini al-Islam, my Deen is Islam, and this is my beloved Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah. As soon as a person dies, he will be questioned. The angels will question him on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he answers correctly, then the grave will become a garden from the gardens of paradise. And if he is unable to answer correctly, then the grave will become a ditch from the ditches of Jahannam. And he will remain in it for a very long time. And finally, when he is resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question. So those people who remember death frequently and who remind themselves that a day is going to come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reckon me for whatever I am doing in this world, they will be able to control their base desires. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ الْمَوْتِ. Frequently remember the destroyer of unlawful pleasures. Destroyer of unlawful pleasures. The crusher of unlawful pleasures. And what is the destroyer of unlawful pleasures? Al-maut, death. If we frequently remember death, if we frequently remember that a day is going to come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us, then we will be able to control our desires. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu. We will be able to control our desires and we will become clever. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. One who fears standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And prevents his nafs from going in the wrong direction. So we will have control over our nafs. If we continually remember death and the events after death, grave, reckoning, pulsirat, jahannam, if we are able to do this, we will have our nafs in our control. And once nafs is in our control, al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. A person will be able to prepare for the life hereafter. And once a person is able to prepare for the life hereafter, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then Jannat is his final abode. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to remember death frequently, to remember that one day we will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instill this in our hearts and minds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to control our base desire. And one way of controlling the base desire is tazkiyah also. As a result of tazkiyah, a person makes his nafs better. When the nafs is at its lowest ebb, nafsi ammara, it is very difficult to control. Through excessive zikr, through the company of pious people, by abstaining from wrong company and wrong environment, a person is able to purify his nafs and his soul. As a result of which, it becomes nafsi lawwama, and eventually it becomes nafsi mutmainna. And when the nafs becomes nafsi mutmainna, there is no need to control that nafs. Nafsi mutmainna will always go in the right direction. So we need to worry about tazkiyah. Continually worrying about death and continually worrying about the reckoning on the day of Qiyamah is a temporary solution. And tazkiyah is the permanent solution. And once we are able to control our nafs, we will be able to prepare for the life hereafter. Once we are able to prepare for the life hereafter, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَاوَى, then Jannat is our abode. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to value each and every moment of our lives, especially each and every moment of the remaining days of this Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us amongst His awliya, His special friends. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten our hearts with taqwa. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on the straight path until we breathe our last, granting us husni khatima. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مسرف القلوب سرف قلوبنا على طاعتك, يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. لا إله إلا الله, نستغفر الله, نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم, ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك ونبيك, ونعوذ بك من شر ما عاد منه عبدك ونبيك. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل, ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل. اللهم إنا نسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا ورشدا. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.